Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hi all, and welcome to another episode of the HR Room Podcast. This one falls under the How to Do HR banner and is the first episode in our two-part series on discrimination in the workplace. In this episode, we'll be looking at some of the steps that HR can take to help prevent this from happening. I'm joined by Liam Barton, Senior HR Consultant at Insight HR, and Mary Cullen, Insight HR's Founder and Managing Director. Good morning, both.
Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
The Employment Equality Acts exist to make sure that people are given equal opportunities in the workplace and also outlines 9 grounds by which it is illegal to discriminate against someone in the workplace. Mary, perhaps you could tell us what those 9 grounds are.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. The 9 grounds on which discrimination is outlawed by the Employment Equality Acts are gender, civil status, family status, sexual orientation, religious belief, age, disability, race, colour, nationality, ethnic or national origins, and membership of the traveller community. The acts also prohibit victimisation or discrimination against a person on the basis of association with another person, whether that's providing support to the person, being named as a comparator, acting as a witness on behalf of that other person. That's kind of roughly it.
Okay, so when we talk about these kind of cases of discrimination, I'm guessing that it can be quite difficult to prove that it really happened. Liam, is that the case?
It can be, Sarah. I think I'm not going to go through all 9 that Mary has alluded to, but if we pick 2, there have been a number of quite high profile cases in a number of the areas quoted. I'm just going to focus on 2, and one is age. And I suppose, you know, the whole area of ageism in society, and with regard to the whole area of retirement, there's no longer a statutory retirement age. So in other words, the Miscellaneous Provisions Act have, I suppose, effectively changed the landscape where retirement is concerned. And now employers have to, I suppose, objectively justify any age on which they might ask a particular employee to retire. And there must be a social justification for such a retirement. So there's been a number of high profile cases in this area where employers have sought to retire a particular employee on the basis of their age, and the employee has successfully lodged an unfair dismissal case and ultimately a discriminatory dismissal case in respect of their age and them being retired on that ground. The second area I talk about, which Mary quoted, is the whole area of gender. And again, we've, and rightly so, quite significant and enhanced maternity leave provisions in terms of our legislation. But still, unfortunately, discrimination does happen, Sarah. It particularly happens in cases where, in some instances, either an employee, a female employee who has become pregnant, or an employee who is returning post-maternity leave is treated differently to how she would have been treated heretofore her pregnancy. So I think, unfortunately, we'd love to have a society where no discrimination takes place. We have very robust, and rightly so, equality legislation and equal status legislation. Unfortunately, we still have discrimination. There are unscrupulous employers who do discriminate, So I think it's important that all HR practitioners and general management teams are aware of the legislation, take the appropriate advice. I would urge caution. There's a very broad definition in terms of the Equality Acts in terms of what discrimination is. The grounds, and in particular the definition in terms of disability, is quite a broad one. So something that somebody might look at initially and say, well, that's not discrimination. Well, you may need to look at it more carefully, or take advice from a more senior HR person, or ideally an employment law solicitor, because something on the face of it, which may not look like discrimination, could in fact be discriminatory. And in very many cases, there's an approach taken which by third parties, which is quite a benign approach, in that if they believe it is possible that it is going to meet the objective justification in terms of the definition, they will allow the claim to be brought forward. So I would urge every HR or practitioner to take training and development in this area, be aware of the legislation, and if in doubt, seek advice from a legal or employment law solicitor.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for HR people as well, do need to examine their own bias. And you hear quite a lot these days in HR circles about unconscious bias and how it may influence recruitment and selection decisions, how it may influence promotional opportunities, training opportunities, how it may influence how we treat people in the workplace. And I guess from a HR perspective, you know, we've got to be really aware of, one, our own bias, and whether there is an organizational bias that exists as well. You know, you have to be practical in HR. You know, you're dealing with a broad range of individuals when it comes to a management team. And, you know, the allegations against an employer of this nature tend to be public. They tend to be embarrassing, and they tend to bring the organization into disrepute. You only need to look at the whole Me Too movement and how that impacted on organizations in Ireland and further afield for employer to consider how something might spiral out of your control and, you know, taint the organization in some kind of way.
Just while we're on that, Mary, I mean, what are some of the other ways that discrimination can show itself in the workplace? I know Liam has touched on a couple of there just in relation to retirement, the basis of age, maternity leave. And I know you mentioned their recruitment and selection. Like, what are some of the ways that you've seen discrimination showing itself?
Yeah, well, you know, for instance, you may have discrimination occur when you have the HR function or the management team reviewing CVs that come into the organization, you know, and maybe you need to examine, have we excluded people based on address? Have we excluded people based on their nationality? Have we excluded people with unusual names and we decide maybe they're not Irish? Have we excluded people that might be of a certain age and female because you might think that they're going to get pregnant and you'll have to deal with maternity leave? It seems hard to believe that that still goes on in Ireland, but it does. And, you know, some of that, I guess, is down to maybe organizational bias, and some of it is down to individual bias. You know, we don't want a certain type of person in the organization. They don't fit with our culture, for whatever reason that might be. And I guess if you, as from a HR perspective, if you take a look across your organization and analyze your data in relation to minority groups, a picture might emerge that's concerning. And you might want to start thinking about, well, what do we need to do as an organisation to raise awareness about minority groups in the organisation, as well as ways in which we can address that. You'll see a lot of organizations now forming LGBTQ plus societies, and making special arrangements within their organizations to promote minority issues. But it must go further than that, because bias is something that's deeply ingrained within individuals, and only through education and awareness can you change that. I also think very clear messaging around a zero tolerance approach to minority groups is really important within an organization.
I couldn't agree more is the first thing I'd say. And if you have a senior management team, I think often if you have a very, I suppose, vocal voice within that senior management team, who may not be tolerant or may have a bias in a particular area, whatever that area may be, I think if that person is good at their job and maybe charismatic in other ways, but has a particular bias or discriminatory bias towards a particular group or ethnic background or whatever it may be, I think it takes a lot of strength and courage and character for another member of the senior management team to sort of say, well, that's not really the culture and ethos we want or we aspire to have within this particular organization. And I think it's important for senior management team leaders, as Mary said, to really lead the team and create the culture and values within the organization that this sort of behavior or attitude is totally unacceptable in society and within our organization. And I think if they give that sort of strong leadership, it really does send a very, very powerful message right across the organization. So I know it's sad, Mary. It's not where we'd like to be in 2021. We'd like to think that we've come as employers and as society, but within the media, anecdotally, you can still find many, many examples, unfortunately, of discriminatory bias and discriminatory behavior. So unfortunately, it does go on. I think we within industry and within society have a role to play in terms of articulating a better culture and a better values. I think the HR practitioners within industry do great work in this regard. I think they need a lot of leadership and support from really, really senior people within organizations to make sure that any sort of inkling of any sort of inappropriate commentary or behavior is tackled and tackled very, very strongly.
I always find it curious, Liam, and I don't know whether you have noticed this yourself. When I share certain articles or, podcasts or webinars on certain issues, maybe like mental health or, sexual harassment or, the discrimination of women, maybe gender pay gap reporting, whatever it might be, the interest in it is always far less than we would have for other things that we might post across our social media platforms. And I'm always curious as to why that is, because, I have quite a significant number of HR practitioners that follow me and like and share the kind of content that I promote and post. But when it comes to those kind of areas, I think there still is even, that fear. Oh, I don't want to post this. Me Too has gone on so long. I don't want to talk about sexual harassment. The whole area of mental health is, something that we're still uncomfortable about and has a stigma. Disability in the workplace, we're still not reasonably accommodating people within the workplace. We're still probably from HR function, I certainly see that we're still looking at, you know, managing people out with disabilities rather than looking at how can we accommodate. And that's not in every organization. That's, you know, some superb organizations who are doing groundbreaking work here. And on the flip side of that, there are organizations that are systemically intolerant of difference. And I think it's a real pity that we're still in this place in Ireland.
I agree. And I think it comes down to the culture and values within the organization. And I think that's why I mentioned that the senior management team have to lead. And it can be difficult for individuals to stand up and sort of say, well, actually, I'm not comfortable, you know, with this type of rhetoric or this type of behavior or conduct. So I think society is changing, Mary. I really do think we're moving forward, and we're moving forward and becoming a much more tolerant, progressive society, and therefore a much more tolerant, progressive workplace. But I do think we still have a way to go. And it's interesting the points that you raise, because they fundamentally, I suppose, reflect on how women are reflected or treated in society, in the workplace. I would say in the majority of cases, very, very well, very well respected. Unfortunately, there's still a minority, in my view, where there is, you know, not an appropriate attitude to a female coming back to work, or there aren't the sort of mechanisms or creativity or imagination to say, well, okay, how do you think you would like the workplace to look like? How can we support you? And instead it's, well, that's not going to work. I don't think that will work within a minority of workforces. As you've said, the majority of workplaces are very progressive. They look in with creative, collaborative ideas. But unfortunately, there are still a minority which may not think outside the box and look at more progressive solutions. And I, you know, I'm hoping that changes in the next months and years.
Yeah, and I do think from an HR perspective, you know, getting speakers in to talk about things like mental health awareness, or, you know, celebrating certain days and those kind of things are all part of, you know, improving and educating and raising awareness, but they are not enough alone. You know, it's very much back to, how are you training and developing your leadership? How are you influencing your senior management team? What more can you do from an HR perspective to help and support minority groups within your organization? And what more can you do from an HR perspective to ensure that you have a mix and a diversity in the people you employ within an organization?
So guys, if we had to bullet point some actions then for HR leaders to take to proactively prevent discrimination in the workplace, what would those bullet points be? I mean, I've got training and development, raising awareness.
In development of your policies and procedures, training your line management team and educating them.
I agree with Mary. I think you're talking essentially about what are the cultures and values and norms of that particular organization. And, you know, that's around the policies and procedures. It's around the training piece for your line managers and for everyone who comes in into that environment. And that from day one, you know, that discrimination in any form is not going to be tolerated. And I think that the starkest action will be taken against anyone who breaches the policy flagrantly, so that people can see very, very clearly both, you know, within the cultures and values of the organization, that it's taken very, very seriously.
That's That's perfect, guys. I'm going to thank you both for joining us today. And I will leave you all with three key takeaways, Sarah's key takeaways from the episode today. So my first takeaway then is that discrimination kind of comes in many different forms. And there's actually 9 grounds of discrimination in the Employment Equality Acts. Those being gender, civil status, family status, sexual orientation, religion, disability, race, age, and membership of travelling community. And this can be a result of organisational bias or individual bias, and can also be unconscious at times. So bias we don't even know that we hold. My second takeaway is that it takes a lot of courage to actually step in if you see discrimination happening in the workplace. And HR really need a lot of support from senior leaders in the business in helping to promote a strong culture and value and values within the organization. Which brings me to my third point then, that the steps that HR needs to proactively take to help prevent against discrimination is to really review those culture and values in the organization and define a zero tolerance rule, educate management team, training and development of policies and procedures, and also to deal with any claim of discrimination proactively, which is something that we're also going to be exploring in our next episode. So make sure to tune in for that. Anything to add to that, guys, or did I
kind of cover?
Perfect. Okay, guys, thanks a million for joining us, and thanks. Yeah, catch up with you on another episode soon.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.